जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जाय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय, ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। चैप्टर 13 कैंटो 9 टेक्स्ट 15, द चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड द डायनेस्टी ऑफ महाराज निमि, टेक्स्ट 5। निमि प्रतिददौ शापम् गुरवे धर्मवर्तिने, तवापि पततादेहो लोभाद्धर्मम् अजानतः। निमि प्रतिददौ शापम् गुरवे धर्मवर्तिनाय, तवापि प्रततादेहो लोभाद्धर्ममजानतः निमिप्रतिददौशापम् गुरवेर्धर्मवर्तिने तवापि पतताद्देहो लोभाद्धर्मजानतः धर्ममजानतः। निमि प्रतिददौ शापम् निमिहि महाराज निमि प्रतिददौ शापम् काउंटर कर्स्ड गुरवे अंटु हिज स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर वशिष्ठ अधर्मवर्तिने हु वाज इंड्यूस्ड टू इरिलिजियस प्रिंसिपल्स बिकॉज ही कर्स्ड हिज ऑफेंसलेस डिसाइपल Tava of you, api also, patatat, let it fall, deha, the body, lobhat, because of greed, dharmam, religious principles, ajanatah, not knowing. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. For unnecessarily cursing him when he had committed no offense, Maharaj Nimi counter-cursed his spiritual master. Quote, for the sake of getting contributions from the King of Heaven, he said, you have lost your religious intelligence. Therefore I pronounce this curse. Your body also will fall. There's a disclaimer here in small print. Do not try this at home. Purport. The religious principle for a Brahmana is that he should not be greedy at all. In this case, however, for the sake of more lucrative remunerations from the King of Heaven, Vasishtha neglected Maharaj Nimi's request on this planet. And when Nimi performed the sacrifices with other priests, Vasishtha unnecessarily cursed him. When one is infected by the contaminated activities, his power, material or spiritual, reduces. Although Vasishtha was the spiritual master of Maharaj Nimi, because of his greed, he became fallen. Although ideally we should connect more verses because there is a more broader context. But we do one verse at a time. So there's a text before that. After completing the sacrificial performance for King Indra, the spiritual master Vasishtha returned and found that his disciple Maharaj Nimi had disobeyed his instructions. Thus Vasishtha cursed him, saying, "May the material body of Nimi, who considers himself learned, immediately fall." Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare The Srimad Bhagavatam is a very interesting treatise where there are very contradictory examples. On the one hand, there are examples where, regardless of what the guru does, the disciple does not in the least react. Can you think of an example? Guru means a brahmana, whoever. Brahmana is considered guru. Can you give me an example where there is cursing, perhaps unfairly, but the person doesn't react and just accepts whatever is said? Who accidentally cut off the tiger. He thought he was cutting off the tiger, but he killed a cow. His name is Prishadhra. Didn't we already do it, or is it coming up? We did it, yeah. So that's one example. Prishadhra. No fault of his. And by the way, who cursed him? Vasishtha, same person. So he didn't respond. Another? Coming up soon? Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati. Fine, good example. Another one? Coming up in this canto, the great Durvasa Muni. He cursed who? Oh, thank you. Ambarish Maharaj. Did Ambarish Maharaj say anything? Absolutely not. Right? That pastime is over. We already discussed it. Sorry. Okay. Ninth canto already done. So no response from him. Just stood quietly. Now, this is a very interesting one. This is Maharaj Ikshvaku. It's not such and such king. Maharaj Ikshvaku's son. Sorry. Maharaj Nemi. Vasishtha Muni cursed him for being impatient. He told him, "I'm coming back. Hold on. I'm coming back after performing yajna in Indra's palace." So why didn't Nimi wait for him? He had a sense that life is very short and it is fleeting. It's only one yajna. He felt that he's going to die in one yajna time. There's a slight thing to it. Why is it one yajna he couldn't wait? If someone tells you, "I'll finish the kirtan program there and come back," just wait. So where was Vasishtha Muni doing the yajna? In the heavenly planets. In the heavenly planets, one day is equivalent to 6 months here. So the traditional Vedic yagyas are not what we do, 15 minutes, an hour. There are a few days. A few days up there means a few years down here. So if Maharaj Nimi was told, oh, hold on for a couple of years, I'll be back. He was concerned, life's too short. Perhaps he was aged by that time. He thinks, oh man, I cannot wait. He's preferred to go to Indra sacrifice, which is fine. I'll just do my thing here. So he did. Sage Vasishtha came back. Oh, you've already performed yajna, you impatient fellow. I told you to wait. You've disobeyed my orders. I curse you to die. And what did our Prabhu say? He says, for the sake of getting contributions from the King of Heaven, you've lost your religious intelligence. Adharmavartine. Vartine means on the path of. Right? Somewhere Krishna uses the word vartmane. Ye yatham mam prapadyante, tams tathaiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanu vartmani. Krishna says, everyone is following my path. So vartma means path. Vartma pradarshaka guru. The initial one who shows us the path. Adharma vartine means one who's on the path of irreligion. Or you can say one who's fallen off the path of religion or one who's on the path of irreligion. Adharma vartine. To tell a Brahmana that you're adharma vartine is like the biggest insult. Because a Brahmin who does not adhere to religious principles, then is a Brahmin in name only. So basically, he's calling him a charlatan, a pretender. And you're Brahmin with a thread because you're going collecting donations for yourself. That's all you're interested in. And he's speaking to Vasishtha. Now, Vasishtha is not an ordinary, Brahmin who finished Bhakti Shastri and got his Gayatri Mantra. Not like that Brahmin. Very elevated person. So elevated and such a long life. And if he cannot live purely, he can't live so long. He is the one who's been the guru of the entire Sun dynasty, all the way till Lord Ramachandra and beyond. So he must be someone very, very up there. Yet, Prabhupada writes, because of his power that got corrupted. He says contaminated. When one is infected by contaminated activities. What's the contaminated activity here? He placed supposedly his greed. He says because of his greed. Now such a great person fell prey to greed. Is it that Vasishtha is not a rich Brahmin? He is extremely rich. Because he's been in the king's palace, guiding all these kings wonderfully, and they've been bestowing him amazing wealth, then what is that little thing that he couldn't say, oh, I don't want to say no to Indra? So, what's the nature of greed? One of the natures or the aspects of greed is it's never enough. How much ever one has, it's never enough. So how does one counteract greed? It's described that if one is suffering from a quality, or a bad quality, you have to cultivate the antidote quality. So what's the antidote for greed? Giving in charity. That's the next step. But before that, something has to come or has to be in place. What's the antidote for greed? Greed, by definition, is it's never enough. So what's the antidote for it's never enough? Simplicity? Perhaps, but what is a Brahman's... When Vamana came, self-control. Self-control is demonstrated by something. When Vamana came to Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj said, ask whatever you want. You want an entire planet for yourself, you got it, take it. What did Vamana ask for? 3 paces of land. And he said something which is critical, that a true Brahman is satisfied by whatever he has, he or she has. Because if one is not satisfied, then how much ever one gets, it's not enough. So the antidote for greed is satisfaction. Tushta. Tushtati. One becomes satisfied. Now satisfaction, isn't that song there? I'm sure you'll talk about it. The great Mahatma, Bhakta, what's his name? Who said, I can get no satisfaction. What's his? Mick Jagger. Bhakta Mick said, I can get no satisfaction. But I try and I try, but I can get no satisfaction. Satisfaction not something you get. That getting of satisfaction is a sense of, as much as I try to satiate my senses, I can't get it. Because I feel a sense of void, something I'm missing. Then I have to contact the sense objects to remove that feeling of I'm missing something, whether to touch or to see or to smell or taste. And when I get in contact with the sense object, I feel satisfied. But it doesn't accomplish it because there is something that is fueling our greed. It's called lust. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that lust is like a raging fire. And contact with the sense object is the fuel for that fire. So more fuel we add, the more the fire burns. So satisfaction, by definition, is not contacting the sense object. It is an inner quality. It is a quality of restraint. And that restraint is not necessarily that I have to hold back, but it is that looking at, satisfaction comes from looking at a big picture. And only a Brahman can have a big picture, because a Brahman by definition is broad-minded. And a narrow-minded person is never satisfied. A broad-minded person looks at other variables also, such as, I may not have enough money, but you know what? I have good friends. I have a healthy life. I have enough to eat. I never starve. I may not have all the fancy clothes to wear, but whatever I have is keeping me alive. And in above all this, I have an opportunity of serving Krishna. So it's okay if other things are not there in place. That's a way of looking at things. If when one has an integrated or a larger picture of life, then other things that are not there seem to have some context. So satisfaction is a quality that a brahmana develops. That is why the very first two qualities of a brahman are sama and dhamma. Right? Sama means mind control. And dhamma is sense control. If the mind is controlled, the senses are controlled. So the mind, for it to be satisfied, something else has to fill in instead of sense gratification. And what needs to fill in is Krishna. That is always the answer. Whenever you don't know any questions, answer, you say Krishna, and that's always right. You're right. But where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna give the formula for satisfaction? That is peace. Satisfaction? Peace, satisfaction? Somewhere in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, this is the Chatushloki verse, where he says, my devotees always engage in conversing about me. Machitta madgata prana bodhayantascha parasparam. Bodhayanta parasparam means they enlighten each other, speaking about me and my activities. And in those conversations, they find two things. Ramanticha, they become happy, and tushyanticha. Bodhayantascha parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. So Krishna katha is the antidote for greed, because the heart becomes satisfied. So Brahman by nature is one who's learning and teaching Krishna katha. A dissatisfied heart indicates lack of or shortage of sufficient absorption in Krishna katha. That is why, if you notice, I'm sure we all have that experience. So when we read Krishna katha or we hear Krishna katha, we feel satisfied. It's nourishing. Like food, it's nourishing. When a hungry person gets food, he or she is satisfied. That's one of the outcomes of eating. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, right? Bhakti Pareshanu Bhava Viraktir Anyatracha. That's a famous verse. And the parallel given is that when a hungry person eats, three things happen. He or she is satisfied, nourished, and they don't want to eat more. They don't want to eat more, because when you're done, even if it's your favorite thing, you can't keep on eating. At some point you got to stop. So like that, this Krishna katha is meant to satisfy a dissatisfied heart. And why is it satisfying? Because it is about Krishna's devotees in their relationship with Krishna, who show that even in the most dire circumstances, they're satisfied. One who has nothing is satisfied. One who has something is satisfied. And one who has everything is also satisfied as a devotee of Krishna. But if one is not a devotee, then one who has nothing is very dissatisfied. One who has something is also dissatisfied because he doesn't have enough. And one who has everything is also dissatisfied because he feels that he needs more. This is the nature of greed, that it is never enough. So Maharaj Nimi took objection not to the chastisement per se, but it took objection to the tinge of greed, what he could recognize, because it says he himself was a pure devotee. He took objection to that greed in a Brahman and said, "Oh, it is your greed for which you wanted to do yajna in both places, but you had no sensitivity to what it, how it affects me. So just as I am cursed, I curse you." Now, can a Kshatriya curse a Brahman? Can a disciple curse Guru? Does it work? You know, when I got my Brahman Diksha, because we read in scripture that a Brahmana can sprinkle water and curse anyone, some of our younger devotees, the little kids, they were little then, they're married now, they would ask me, "Can you sprinkle water and curse anyone now?" And I would say, "Yeah, you want me to sprinkle on you?" "No, no, no, no." We would play along, you know. So something about Brahman, the words of a Brahman, not me, of a proper Brahman, they never fail. They always come true. Because a Brahman is called Satyavak. And whatever a Brahmana says, Krishna fulfills. Especially pure Brahmana like a devotee. So can a disciple curse a guru? Was it possible? First of all, one should not. Is that clear, right? That's absolutely clear. That a disciple should not say, "Guru, I found a tinge of greed in you. I curse you." So what kind of risk there is in cursing one's guru? Unfathomable. That's why I said one should not try it at home. How much ever you feel you've been wronged, you cannot say in Canto 9. By the way, it's chapter 13. It's an unlucky chapter. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, Canto 9, I have reference where by which I found some tinge of greed in my guru and I cursed him. It's possible, I can do it. No, absolutely not. In fact, the point of view one should take is, I would rather go to hell by his curse than dig my own grave in hell. I'm going to hell anyway. I'd rather be sent than go on my own. Okay, so this is, should be never tried. This is such a serious exception. One, because Maharaj Nimi himself is such a pure devotee. And of that caliber, previously when we talked of Prishadra, Prishadra is not considered of the same caliber as Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi is not an ordinary person. Maharaj Nimi, later, in the Bhagavatam, two cantos later, is visited by the four Kumaras, I'm sorry, the Navayogendras, the nine great sages. So if a person has any tinge of such qualities, the Navayogendras won't come. And they have a very wonderful conversation. So Maharaj Nimi, out of his own strength of Krishna consciousness, could recognize and object to Vasishtha's cursing and counter-curse him. So that exception, this is an example from Bhagavatam that we cannot and should not follow. Everything else we can follow. But we can follow the principle. The principle of greed. or how to avoid it. And so one should cultivate satisfaction. So one way of cultivating satisfaction is to make a list. To make a list of all things Krishna has already given us that we perhaps don't recognize enough. If one has nothing else, but one has breath and life, one thing is assured. Most people earn money, big money, for few things. Good food, good house, good clothes. Mostly that's. By Krishna's grace, we should be assured that there will never come a time where we will be hungry, that there's nothing to eat. There will never come such a time. Never. Especially if we are chanting Hare Krishna and following a devotional lifestyle, there will never come a time where you will never get something to eat. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you will never go hungry. Even if the rest of the world is going hungry, a devotee of Krishna will never go hungry. Never. And it was proved by Krishna in many, many ways. For example, in a practical way, wherever in the world you are, you will either find a Govindas, you will find a devotee, or a temple. Somehow, you will find that. If nothing else, you will find enough food available that you can offer to Krishna for yourself and eat. Never be a shortage. It will never be possible. I mean, it's a challenge. I am confident, even if I'm not a big devotee or a stable one, I'm very confident that we will never go hungry. This is Krishna's very special grace upon us. And we will never find ourselves derelict. Derelict means without anything, lost out. Never be the case. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when Lord Chaitanya would perform his Sankirtan activities, Srivas Pandit is the only Grihastha in the five. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was getting ready to be a sannyasi. Lord Nityananda doesn't have a particular varna that he belongs to. Advaita Acharya was a Grihastha but very advanced in age. And Gadadhar Pandit was a brahmachari. And Srivas Pandit was one with a family and needed to take care of the needs of his family. But his conviction was so strong that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, you don't have to take care of what you need to do for your family. And he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if ever such a day comes, I will clap three times. And if I don't get food, then I will drown myself in the Ganges. What it means is, I will never have a situation where I will not get enough food. That was his confidence. Krishna will nourish us enough. Or in the forest, when Draupadi had a visit by Durvasa Muni and his 50,000 or 60,000 disciples, and he said, I'm very hungry. And we all are hungry. Krishna landed there and made sure, I'm cutting out the pastime, but made sure that everyone was fully satisfied. This is the nature of Krishna's ability to satisfy. So we should take stock regularly. Oh Krishna, thank you for all that you have given me. It's more than enough. Somehow I need to perform my duties, therefore I'm engaging in whatever I need to do, but you've given me enough. That is the nadhanam janam nasundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye. I have enough. Whatever you've given me, I have enough. You may have given someone else a little bit more and someone else a little bit less. However you've done it, I am satisfied. A devotee must cultivate this quality of feeling satisfied. My dear Krishna, I am satisfied. So, although one may be satisfied, it doesn't mean that you should stop doing your activities or occupational engagements, and it's not that you should stop progress or advancement. Generally we say, my dear Krishna, whatever devotional I have, I'm satisfied. I don't need to really advance anymore. I'm satisfied. That's the wrong satisfaction. That's complacency. Satisfaction means, I'm happy in my relationship with you. Things will come and go. When things come, I'm satisfied. When things go, I'm satisfied in my relationship with you. The satisfaction is not with things. Satisfaction is with the relationship. Because things will always come and go. Relationship won't. I want to keep that relationship with Krishna. And I'm so satisfied with what you have given me, now I'm eager for more in my relationship with you. So it's said, that kind of greed is good. There is a good greed. When Prahlad was young, whenever at home we would use the word proud, or something he would do and say, oh, very proud of you. And immediately he would ask, good proud or bad proud? That should be a joke at home. Good proud or bad proud? I mean, proud is never good or bad. Point is, so like that, there is good greed and bad greed. So the good greed is called laulyam. That I want more from my side in my relationship with Krishna. The bad greed is, I want more from Krishna's side. And the good greed is, I want more from my side towards Krishna. Because what Krishna has given me, I'm satisfied. I need to do more. That's the greed. May I constantly improve and do more in my relationship with Krishna. I'm not satisfied with my contribution in the relationship. And the bad greed is, I'm not satisfied with Krishna's contribution in the relationship. He's not doing enough. I've somehow made it to 16 rounds and do some things and do some seva. What he is doing is not enough. That's the bad greed. So that lesson we can take. And the third lesson is, we play the role of Vasishta for others in the community. We are Brahmins, either officiated Brahmins or on the path of being Brahmins. That means we, the Brahmana class, is the liaison between the community and Krishna or the deity. That's what the Brahmin class is. They're the liaison. Usually the word is used Purohit. A Brahmin and a Purohit. Purohit is one who's performing. The word Purohit has a meaning. Pura means a town or a city or a village. Jagannath Puri. Right? Krishna says, our body is a city of nine gates. Navadvare Puri or Pura. In India there are many names. Nagpur, a city of snakes. Anantapur, the city of Lord Ananta, like that. So Pura means the city or the community. And Hita means one who is looking for the benefit of. So Purahita is the person who does whatever he or she does for the benefit of the community. So if a Brahman is doing something for their own benefit, they're not Purohit. They should be the transparent liaison between the community and the deity. So we perform yajnas, we do activities that connect people to Krishna. Either we distribute books, we go out on Harinam, Prasadam, actual yajnas, whatever we do, it should not be done with a sense of, I will do this yajna because that guy is a rich guy. I will not do this yajna because I won't get more than $21. It's not fun. That's not how it should be. I'll end with this. There was one person who came to raise some funds for another project somewhere. He went to one of our congregation members' homes. Supposedly well-to-do congregation member. And he asked them, please give some charity. So after spending about an hour discussing the project, this, that, the person wrote a check for $108. So this person who was raising money looked at the check and said, and threw the check on the donor's face and said, what do you think I am, a beggar? Because he was expecting, you know, that he came in from such a long distance, spent an hour, guy is rich enough, should be doing more, whatever it was. Instead of saying, thank you for whatever you gave, if you can do more, we'll be very satisfied, but what you did is thank you. Instead of saying that, threw the check on their face and said, what do you think, I am a beggar? That's not, it's an insult to the donor. And it also shows that deep inside, perhaps something needs to be addressed. Okay. Any comments or questions, thoughts? I'm listening.
I liked what Mahatma Gandhi said. There's enough for every man's greed, but there's not enough. No, there's enough for every man's need, but not every man's greed. There was an article in the BTG about that song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Samadhiji, it was a few years ago, and the theme of the article was, well, they don't know where to find it. I remember Vaisheshika came through the, Mick Jagger came through the airport, and Vaisheshika approached him to give a donation, you know, get a book. And Vaisheshika, witty as always, said, Mick, are you getting any satisfaction lately? And Mick says, don't bore me. And he walked away. I remember this song once. I have no money coming in, but I can't feel sad. That was the best cup of coffee I ever had. I don't worry about a thing outside so far away. I was just happy on the inside. I remember the rest of the song, but not right now. I wish I... Anyways... Someday.
All right, Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. I thought you made some really good, at least a couple funny points that I appreciated. They're not just funny, but the one thing you mentioned that I wish Prabhupada put in the port actually is that one day in heaven is actually many years here. And so I suppose when Vaisheshika came back to earth, it had been like 2 years already.
Or more. Who knows how many days he spent up there?
Yeah, exactly. So I appreciated that point. I can't wait that long. So I wish that was in the Bhagavad time, actually. And the other point you made that I appreciated, and maybe I have a question or comment on it, you could spend on. You said if we're a devotee, whether we have nothing, something, or everything, then we're satisfied. And vice versa, if we're non-devotee, you know, the opposite. So, my question is related to the fact that questioning our motives. We can't really, you know, like you said, it's better safe, you know, to not question anyone's motives, especially the spiritual master. But as far as questioning our own motives, you usually quote a verse throughout the years. I remember several times, Kama Dinam Na Kati Na Kati Na, something like that, during Desha, that we have a main guru, which is our bad motives, our lust, our greed. So one point I was meditating on is that usually when you, on Sunday feasts, or if you ask somebody, we have free treasury open for everyone, then people are like, where? Then you take them to the Bhagavatam. They're like, this is the treasury? And so naturally they'll get upset, but that's what Krishna says, that in the Bhagavatam 1.2.17, that you could be happy with the real treasury. So my question is, even as devotees, we're practicing, usually if we only come to Bhagavatam or do anything, if we know we're going to get something out of it. Like, why should I come to Bhagavatam when I'm going to get out of it? Like, Krishna says you'll get rid of your bad qualities, but sometimes even when you come to Bhagavatam class, still you feel like they're not going away. So how do you maintain that faith that I'm chanting my rounds, I'm coming to Bhagavatam, but sometimes, you know, I'm on a high and sometimes on a low. So how to maintain that faith, basically? Why should I come to Bhagavatam class?
While you were speaking, something crystallized even more is, look at any person or devotee. If they have one very good relationship, that devotee is satisfied. Take in the world, a person can have anything and everything, but if they don't have a proper relationship, most importantly a spiritual relationship, if they don't have that, then they're never satisfied. Hiranyakashipu had everything, but he lacked a good relationship either with Prahlad or with Narasingadev, oh Lord. But you take any person, any devotee, even in devotees there are dissatisfied devotees, and if you dig properly, their dissatisfaction will be that they don't have a good, solid spiritual relationship. And that is where the problem lies, that in the absence of relationship, Now from a general perspective, take any person in the world, when they feel love, then they don't care if they have things or they don't have things. They don't care. They have sleep, they don't have sleep, they have food, they don't have food, they don't care, because they feel nourished by that love. Now materially love doesn't exist, but you get the idea, it's a reflection of the pure one. But the principle is still true. Now, what to speak of any person, if you have one good spiritual relationship, that relationship will negate all dissatisfaction. Whether it's with one's guru, with another devotee, one feels that strong relationship with Krishna, whatever it is, that it may have different facets to it, but at least one good relationship, devotee is very happy, very satisfied, always the case. So whenever there is dissatisfaction, one should invest or try to solve it by strengthening relationships. Then it doesn't matter what one has or doesn't have. Actually, it becomes irrelevant. Okay, any other thoughts, comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Yeah, you should have a raffle. If you come to Bhagavatam this day, you can have free range of the treasury. Then you should come to the Bhagavatam. That's what Vamana did. He was deceptive. I only need three faces of man, so apparently that's a bona fide method.
Yesterday I was hearing someone saying that, you know, devotees would go distribute prasadam at some place. Mm-hmm. And the guys would look at it and say, oh, no meat?
No meat? Is that throw it away every day?
I was just talking about that to Bhakti Dan, you know, the tall devotee. Yeah. I was, years ago, Patrap, me and Rasala,